SV Pod is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
Welcome in. This is SV Pod. Hope everyone had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Our guest had a happy Thanksgiving. Chris Mooney is the head coach at Richmond. They have the highest ranking they've had since 1957. They're ranked 19th because over the weekend they went down to Rupp Arena and played Kentucky, and they kicked their butt. They didn't play particularly well in the first half, but ran away with it in the second half, won by double figures in Rupp. And so now Richmond, ranked in the top 20, off this big win, everything's great. And then because it's 2020, I look on Twitter this afternoon and I see Richmond has to pause activity because there are potential positives in and around the program. Not on the team, but in and around the program. And so I shot Chris a note and said, hey, man, if you don't want to do this, no, we're good. So I said, good. You're good. We're good. So let's talk to Chris Mooney after that huge win, but with the reality that we are all dealing with at the moment, and that's this COVID mess. Today is Giving Tuesday, a global day of giving, and it's also the first day of ESPN's V-Week. We can all be part of something big today by supporting cancer research, which is needed now more than ever. If you're able, give now at v.org/donate, v.org/donate, and 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research.
And action.
All right, so Chris, I'm all fired up to talk to you. Richmond's got its best ranking since the 50s. You beat Kentucky and Rupp. And we're going to start with a 2020 moment, right? I mean, I see the news come across Twitter that you guys have to hit the pause button, which is a reality for everybody in life. It's a reality for sports. When you find out that you got to sort of hit pause for your program, let's just start with that. What does that even mean?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, it's interesting. We're being tested constantly. So it's really, we're in this, we're just together down in the Marriott in Lexington for 5 straight days, come back and got tested again yesterday. We were tested 3 times there and we had 3 positive cases, none of which are players. And so we had worked really hard on limiting our travel party. You know, we went with fewer people. Then we were very specific about seating assignments and that kind of thing. And so that, which is good because then you can present rather than the whole thing, rather than every person being quarantined, you can say, hey, this person was within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. A frustrating thing was, as much as, I don't know if anybody's told you to wear a mask or not over the past few months, but for us, wearing the mask didn't prevent you from being a close contact. So if you sat behind somebody on a plane who tested positive, you're within 6 feet, even though everybody was wearing masks everywhere, you were considered a close contact. That's tough. So then we have, well, you know, we've done a lot of research and, you know, maybe it's a false positive because we, you know, we've probably been tested 15 to 18 times and maybe it's a false positive. So to counter the false positive, you need 3 negatives, each separated by 24 hours. So that's our hope right now. If that could happen, then we're only be paused for a few days.
And if it's not?
And if not, then we really have to see. I mean, you know, we're trying to, you know, Gonzaga played and they had got, you know, players who had subsequently tested positive. Uh-huh. They did really, you know, I think they took 2 planes and, you know, we're trying to figure out if there's something they did in their protocols or their interpretations that we can.
And see, here's the thing, Chris, that's so, I don't know if frustrating is the right word. I think confusing is the right word. Like everybody's got their own thing. Like the A-10 could have one thing. The WCC could have another thing. There's no NCAA that's to say, here's what we're all doing. So I guess like, is this A-10? Is it Richmond? Like who's the one saying what the rule is about a guy behind somebody on a plane, even if he's got a mask or whatever?
Yeah. So it's the Department of Health and it comes down to the state. I think the NCAA has given guidelines. The conferences have given guidelines, but really it's your state's health department. You know, and I think we see in California with the Niners and having to move, I think it comes down to the local interpretations.
My guy Stanford Steve, like his football team's like they're vagabonds. Like and he actually said something to me, Chris, that made sense. Like maybe that's actually a good thing. Like you can try to Steve, you said you could try to make it a little positive, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually talked to the guys now. They were on the flight. They just landed. And the only reason they were able to pull this off is because the airline that Stanford uses had actually two incoming flights to San Jose today that they could charter out and get back up to Seattle and just get the hell out of here. Like, if that doesn't happen, then they're not able to play probably the rest of the season. It's crazy the things that are going and the breaks you need to happen to pull anything off. And I can't imagine what the coach has after one of the biggest wins he's had. Right. And now he comes home and he's sitting talking to us.
Right. And I promise we're going to get to that. That was why I wanted to talk about all these amazing things. But I'm actually glad it's not the right word here. But I think it's instructive, Chris, to all of us that are sports fans to recognize what you, your program, your kids, everybody within the building that's part of the support staff. Like, this is going on, men's and women's programs all across the country in all of these sports. And you guys are, everyone's trying his or her best. But I guess, like, this is a great example that if it's not a false positive, there's only so much you can do to create a bubble around yourself. I mean, is that the sense that you have?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I was never looked at social media until the shutdown in March. And, you know, it's a bad place to be, but what's frustrating is it feels like I don't want our guys. We don't have any players who are positive. And I don't like the idea that sometimes some people get blamed for being right. Some people are giving, I think it's a virus. I mean, our trainer has it. And not only has he done everything perfectly for his own sake, but he's modeling for our guys and what the best behavior is, and he's pulled guys over, hey, we need your mask because you're in this space right now, we're not playing, and you know, things like that are, he's on point and doing everything like that. And you know, it's really difficult. I heard Coach Boeheim, you know, kind of talk about it a little bit, like there really does need to be, just for, you know, what's fair competitively. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some bottom line rules, because if you don't have that, then, you know, if my state is more strict than your state, that'd be a tough way to determine a conference champion or who's in the NCAA tournament and things like that.
We talk about beating Kentucky and Rupp.
That'd be great.
Let's do it, man. I was so psyched for your guys to get the chance, right? Like, that's a big time stage. And yeah. And you guys couldn't have played worse for 20 minutes, right? I mean, like at halftime, this is a veteran bunch. We'll get to it. I mean, you got seven seniors and grad seniors. These guys know you. They know the system. Like, they're not – the stage isn't too big, and yet you guys are just playing like crap. Yeah. So, like, are you able to come in and say something along the lines of, guys, we can't play worse, and if we play the way we're supposed to, we're going to win? Is that something that you can sell your guys on?
Yeah, generally. Generally, I think that, you know, when you're watching on TV and you know, you're distanced from it, it's different than you're in it. And I think our guys' feeling was like down, you know, like, man, this, we know this is a chance, and you get so few of them. And, you know, we've played UCLA while I've been here, in Carolina each once. And it's like, you're just not getting those chances. You're just not getting them that often. And mm-hmm. So we all realize that. And then I just went down and clicked a few things at the end, like, hey, I think we've defended well. We just haven't, you know, shot well. And I will say this, I thought they'd pressure us more. And I thought they played a little bit more of a containment defense, you know, not to allow back doors and things like that. But then I do think once the second half started, like when they had a good run, our guys were able to keep their composure. I think when we had a good run, it's just harder for a younger guy, you know, who's mm-hmm.
sure.
as great and as elite as they are, it's still hard because it didn't go your way and you start to feel it.
I told Steve yesterday that it was an upset, but it wasn't an accident. And I think if you played them 10 times, you'd win more than them. And I'm not asking you to say you would or you wouldn't, because all you needed to play them was once. But you played so well in the second 20 minutes, and that gives you guys a chance to – like, that's a statement win, Chris. Like, you beat them in their building with all those five-star lottery-type guys. I mean, what does that do to a group that, when you guys shut down last year, you're second in the A-10, you're like 24-7, I want to say. Like, you guys were going to be a tournament team last year, but, like, what does it say to the group to go there and beat them?
Yeah, a lot. It really does a lot. And again, you know, they're young and they'll be so much better in February and March and whatnot. But it, we were already confident. You know, it's a confident group that has just earned that confidence. You know, it's not.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, it's not a group that is showy necessarily, but they've earned that confidence over some highs and lows. And yeah, I think it gives you the chance to say, hey, you know, we won by 12 points. We had the game and we feel like we can beat anybody, you know, mm-hmm. And I think you probably felt that. I will say this too. The off season was so long. I mean, months wise, it was long, but every day was so long so that we're feeling like we're good, but it's been so long since you played.
Right.
Want to get out there and play and you know, have a shot fall, like those kinds of things. And so mm-hmm. I think that part really bumped us up.
Coach, we got to talk about the mask. I was blown away by the mask you wore. I think it's a game changer for coaches across the country. Now, I don't know. I'm trying to explain it. We're on a podcast here, but I tweeted out a picture of it. You got a little Hannibal Lecter going. You got the, you know, the team could see your, you know, your lips, which I think is huge. But did you come up with that yourself? Like, I'm just trying to explain it to people. It's a clear thing so you could see your mouth, but you do have your nose and your mouth covered. How did that come about? Is that a Princeton, an old school go back?
I was working on it in the rec room. Now, so it's funny. Everybody has different opinions on the virus and how everybody's handled it. And I have my own. So on the Monday night football game, the first football game of the year, the Chiefs played.
Andy Reid.
Yep. Andy Reid at the Clear Shield. So I was, you know, I love Andy Reid, love the Shield. And I figure if Andy Reid can pull it off, you know.
Yeah.
So I ordered a bunch of Shields. And they were disallowed by the university.
Oh.
Because this,
Did you get reimbursed? Are you good?
I'm still working on that. But so then I found, I'm looking like online for Clear Shields all the time. And I saw this one and it's like a medical mask. I mean, it's tight on around your mouth and nose, but it does have that Clear Shield. And so, you know, I have a habit sometimes when I'm talking to the guys of covering my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want all that praise to get to everybody, just them, you know. And so a mask might have helped, but it's hard to really, when you have to raise your voice and you mm-hmm. see it on these games, they pull the mask down. It's hard to raise your voice. You're swallowing that thing. So the mask is great. The shield, the clear mask is great. And I appreciate it.
If Cal could make the virus like manifest into a physical form, he would fight it so he wouldn't have to wear that mask. Like Steve made the point. It was like, I was watching that and I'm like, I don't know if he's more pissed at his team or about this mask. Like he's just losing his mind. But like, it's funny kind of, and we're all smiling as you're saying this, but I mean, these are the realities, right? I mean, like every single level of this is the reality of where we're at. And yet we still got games, you know, like, and I think like, that's the positive. You know what I mean? Because when you shut down in March, like, I'll never get over that. Like, you had a team that had a chance. Maryland had a team that had a chance, man.
Yeah.
And it's just, how do you, at least for you guys, so many of your guys are back. And you had guys that got injured that get the chance to come back. Like, at least you get a chance to get, like, one last run with this group, right? I mean, how much do you kind of sympathize for those people that just, that the dream died before it ever got a chance to live last March?
Yeah, well, for us, you know, we found out in Brooklyn, we're at the A-10 tournament, we come back, and I'm trying to think of what to say to the team. And, you know, 99% of sports, you know, and I have two little boys, so it's same around the house, is like, hey, that didn't work out. What can we do better? You know, that we didn't handle that well. What can we learn from that and do better? And this was one of the few instances where, hey, this was just out of our control and hard. And when they honor the team at the 20-year reunion, we'll still be upset. You know, we'll, and I really think the team that got out the worst was Dayton. I mean, here's an Atlantic 10 team that's a likely number one seed with a legitimate chance to win the national championship.
I had that on my list to ask you, so I'm just going to ask you right now. Like, how good do you think they were? You're second to them in the league. Like, what do you think their ceiling was? National title? Like, they, that wasn't beyond them.
I don't think so. You know, they played Kansas to overtime in Maui.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. If you look at their offensive numbers, it's staggering. I mean, 52% shooting, you know, high number of assists. They were probably a good defensive team. Not elite, but when you make a basket every time down the floor, you don't need to be that elite. And yeah, I think having the great player, it probably puts them from Elite Eight to national champion contender, because look at the confidence you get from that. And the guy's incapable of having a game without multiple highlights. And so I just think the emotion of games would have benefited them over the long haul.
I don't know how you reconcile that. Like, I think Anthony Grant and you know, he's been around a lot of different situations. So he was great. We had him on the show and he couldn't have been more gracious. I just, and maybe it's just a fan in me. I don't know. And like, cause you guys get a chance to go back and do it. Right. So you like, but like, if you're like, I'm a Maryland fan. So like Jalen Smith, like that's it, man. That was the last look you got at it. But it's selfish. All politics are local. Right. So I look at it through my lens. If you're at Michigan State and you're Cassius Winston and like you, that's why you come back. Right. And Fuey had a team at Gonzaga. You had a team. Like everybody had a team. And the beauty of the tournament, right, is everyone thinks when it starts, we might be able to make a run, you know?
Yeah.
And then that, I don't know. I just, it's weird. That's one of those things that I think, like you, I think I'm good at figuring out a path and a way to overcome something, but that's not there's no fix for that, you know?
Right. Yeah. No fix. Yeah, exactly. And it's just a pit. It's just a pit in your stomach and, you know, they've done a lot of things this year and guys getting an extra year but there's no fix for that. There's no solution for that.
Yeah. Now I want to go back in time just a bit. Cause I read John Feinstein had an article in the Post today about you and about, you know, you had that run, what it was 11 to the 16. Right. Mm-hmm. And the timing's interesting because it's the same year, like Shaka right across the street, like they make a run. And Richmond's got a really cool culture and basketball is a big deal at VCU and at Richmond. And you made a run and, you know, Princeton, great coach, good looking dude. You got all the boxes checked, man. You're like everything's cooking.
Great mask.
Say again.
Great mask.
Great mask. You know, on top, you got all of it covered. Like in a pandemic down the road, you're going to be able to figure some stuff out. And 2 years ago, you got to drive past a sign on the road that says Fire Mooney. And like, I'm just wondering how, like you and I have been in touch for years and I don't think you've ever wavered. And I guess what I'm asking you is how did you not waver in the face of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm going to be more candid because I'm with you guys, to be honest. So
go ahead.
So, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. I don't know if
you know, I knew that was going to come up. I knew it.
I can remember we would go the 700 level at the vet. My dad was a big
you.
And Schmidt hit a home run in the bottom of the 10th, you know, to for a 4-3 Phils win. And we're going crazy. And you're walking out the big, huge ramps outside the vet. You know, and a guy said, well, if he had singled in the eighth, you know, if that jerk had singled in the eighth, he wouldn't need to hit the home run as a 10th. It's like, well, wait a minute, you know? And then the next guy is saying the same thing. And so really tough fans. And I never saw that in Philadelphia. And, you know, the University of Richmond is a private school, very proud, a big Southern influence in terms of being a gentleman and all that kind of stuff. So I think really it was kind of embarrassing for the university and the alums. For me personally, you know, I'll be honest, it doesn't, that stuff has never motivated me. That has never been, I mean, not everybody has that happen, but you know, like what everybody said, or he said that about you on Twitter, like, you know, the Yankees clinch a playoff spot and it's like, nobody thought we could do it. It's just like, everybody knew you would do it, you know? And so,
sure.
I've never coached a team, and I know my guys are young. They are motivated by that kind of stuff, and they weren't picked this way or they're ranked here in the high school and stuff. For me, that's not been, you know, I don't want to show it to those. But I couldn't care less. You know, And so the only thing was, I have small boys who were super into basketball, and their friends play basketball, talk about basketball, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Richmond, VCU. And so that was really hard to keep them, you know, because somebody had said to me, well, it's the same, you know, there's the same thing on the message boards, you know? And I was like, you know, my boys don't read the message boards that often. Yeah. So that was the only thing that mattered to me. My wife was very upset. My boys were really upset. But I will say, you know, I got immediate texts from Jacob Gilliard, from Grant Golden, from Nick Sherrod. We practiced that day. We won at LaSalle the next day. They took the billboard down, which was nice. You know, look, not that I don't want to understate it and pretend it didn't affect me. And I hate that it happened, but it's not what motivates me. You know, I've tried to say this a few times, like, I'm not motivated by the haters and the doubters. You know, I'm motivated by the believers and the investors.
Right on.
You know, Grant Golden, he was recruited by everybody in the country this offseason because he's a graduate player. Mm-hmm. You know, and it got out a little bit that some of the, you know, higher level schools are getting in touch with his coach. And, you know, he sent me a really long text about how much he loves Richmond and he wouldn't play college basketball anywhere else. And, like, that's a believer. That's an investor. Well, I'm going to bust my ass for Grant Golden. Why am I going to worry about a guy who put up some money for a billboard who, you know, maybe should think about having better things to do? And so, but I really, that's how I look at it. Like, we got guys coming in sweating and, you know, coaches coming on a red eye and being at workouts and strength trainers coming in at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. Like, we got a lot of believers and investors. Yeah. That's where my energy is going to go.
So the 700 level in you, like, you'd have a response for that sign. But to your point, though, the text you get from a guy that everybody that was at the upper levels of college basketball is trying to steal from you, which is a real problem in college basketball. Yeah. Like, he says, nah, I'm good. Like, I how much does that mean to get that from that guy? Like, I mean, that's gotta, like, when you're done with this, right? The wins and the losses, like, those have got to be the connections and the moments that you'll hang on to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, you really build a relationship, and you know, there are a couple programs that win just about every game, you know, and only if they really do, you know?
Yeah.
But you really build a relationship with these guys, and, you know, it's not like the old days. You know, Steve was talking about seeing us play at Princeton. Coach Carrill, you know, that was a different relationship. Now it's more, you're much more in tune with their whole lives, and you still have to remain honest, you know, and you're not, you know, hanging with them and talking about what they did over the weekend so much, but you're involved with them in a way. And so, you know, we had three guys who were grad transfer eligible. And we didn't have to have one discussion.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was trickier because we weren't even together.
Yeah.
You know, but there was no, we said, hey, look, we think they know who we are, you know, and there's a strong bond here. So that's really important. And this day and age, first of all, the high stuff. And, you know, we had a great year last year, but the years before were struggles. So they could have been excuses.
I know Steve wants to get to some Princeton stuff, I just have one last big picture question about Richmond basketball for this year. Like, you got a ranking. That's cool. It's nice to have a number next to your name, like, that you haven't had, and the satisfaction that comes with that. It's nice to go to Rupp and kick their butt for the second 20 and leave there with a win that wasn't an accident, right? But if you allow yourself, Chris, to look down the road, and we've known each other long enough where you can be honest, you don't have to bullshit me about the next game against whoever. I'm talking about what you're willing to allow yourself to think this group can be. Like, what does that look like in your mind? Like, what this group that stuck together and rode this out together, like, what do you feel like you guys can be?
Yeah, we can be great. I'll say that. And I don't know where that leads you exactly, but we can be great. You know, we dramatically improved defensively last year, and we really guarded Kentucky the other day. And again, they'll get much better. But we can defend. We're athletic. You know, if you looked at us, since we play two small guards, you know, maybe people would see that as a weakness. You know, they're often the two two best guys on the court. So, but we're athletic. We can score inside. We defend. And there's a certain grit about us. And, you know, like we played Morehead State on the Wednesday before Kentucky, and we're up 7 at half, but it was a high scoring half. And, you know, I just went in there and said it in this tone, like, hey guys, we're not, you know, we need to, there's not enough grit here. You know, that ball screen, he's too comfortable. And I mean, there's three plays in the second half, like charge, dive on the floor, charge. And it's like, it's so easy to coach a veteran group. So I know we can be great. I don't know where that will lead just because of March and how crazy it can be, but I know we can be great.
Great's a good place to be. The rest will figure itself out.
Speaking of great, Scott, we got to talk about some former great Ivy League teams.
Go.
I got it. There's good and bad here, Coach, all right? Now, I grew up just outside New Haven. Went to game, you know, I grew up Chris Dudley, Butch Graves, Yale, the whole nine. And then obviously this Princeton squad starts getting things together, and everybody knows about the Georgetown deal and that whole thing. But at the same time as you, my brother played football at Columbia. So I was always going down there, and the way you guys picked up momentum, obviously the national scene, but when you guys came to town in no matter what Ivy League school, like, did you ever go back to those guys and be like, hey, thanks a lot for what you guys did? Like, we're getting everybody's best shot. Like, I mean, I think I've seen you play six times between games at Columbia and at Yale. Like, I don't think you scored more than 60, but I don't think you lost more than one of those games. Like, just go when you relive like back that, like, how awesome was that? Like, did the guys ask you about Ivy League back in the day, and you know, NCAA tournament historians, like, you guys had it cranked up and it was awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So yeah, we were really good. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we were ranked 17th in the country. I mean, mm-hmm. imagine, we were really good, and we would go. We didn't watch a lot of. We did everything differently at Princeton, so mm-hmm. we never watched film.
Wow.
We watched it once, and thank God that was it. Coach Curl's tough now. You know that was.
I believe it.
Yeah. And, you know, he'd keep you rewind it 10 times and keep telling you what to do. And you just keep making that mistake, you know. but, yeah, when I would see other games and, there wasn't as much television back then of all the games. But, yeah, there'd be nobody there.
No
and then we'd come in and it would be standing room only at mm-hmm. Columbia, Yale. And Yale had a great player named Eddie Peterson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Number four.
Yeah, Eddie. And so – listen how crazy this is. So we're 17th in the country my freshman year. We go, we beat Rutgers, we were both undefeated to go to like 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
We get ranked in the top 25. We get drilled by UNLV, the great mm-hmm. team, Augman and Larry yep. Johnson.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
We come back. We're 8-2 to start the Ivy League. It's our first home game of the season.
Wow.
10 games away from home to start the season. it's insane to think about. And we beat Yale like 58-27.
Yep.
And my buddy Josh Jennings, who played on that Yale team, is a doctor now. He calls it Black Friday because Yale was very good.
Yeah, Yale, the year after the UConn dream season, Peterson had a shot at the buzzer at the New Haven Coliseum. I was there, and they lost by one. Yale yep. lost by one to UConn? Yeah. Wow. I remember that it was like early December. I was at that game. Now
I got my 1,000th point at Payne Whitney Gym.
Nice.
I had.
Did you go get a slice of pizza across the street or no?
I had 1,000 points after 100 games.
All right.
That's fun.
That's all. I was looking at some stats today. The average kept creeping up every year. Is all that good though? And it forced me and see you guys pull games out. I picked you guys every single year in my NCAA tournament bracket. And I mean, I was looking back at the games today, man. You guys work all year and you're in every single game. What is it? Two point loss to Nova. What were the other two? I mean, do you want to relive some of those? Like that, like working all that way and being every Arkansas, you guys lost to Arkansas, right? Yeah. In a close game.
Georgetown, Arkansas by 4, Villanova by 1 or 2.
Two. That was at Syracuse, wasn't it?
Syracuse by six, Massachusetts. And, you know, Syracuse was notoriously bad foul shooting team at the time.
Yep.
Lawrence Moten, I think, had 14 straight points in the game. Of course, it was over like 12 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we were awfully good. And, you know, playing Princeton, I mean, for Coach Kirill, for him to have done, you know, being at a school that has admission standards and, you know, it's there's an added a huge added layer of a challenge for him to have done that for that long and that consistently is amazing.
Yeah, Coach, I know what you're talking about there. Scott doesn't know what you're talking about with the admissions thing. You know, the Maryland guys, you know.
What is this?
He doesn't have his name on a building. We don't, Coach.
Whatever. I couldn't get into journalism school, but now I'm on the board, so everybody can kiss my ass. As I'm listening, it's fun to be a fly on the wall listening to this because Steve's the most incredible fan I've ever met. Like his recall, as you just saw, Chris, is amazing. But I'm thinking about what an interesting place you could be in. Because the thing about sports is the guy who's the old guy, right, always thinks the next guy that we could have kicked their butt, right? The old guy always thinks that. But you're in a unique place now where you played on a team that was highly ranked. Now you coach a team that's highly ranked. In your mind's eye, if you as a player got a chance to run it back tonight with your Richmond squad, like in your mind, like – who wins that game?
Yeah, I think the Richmond squad. You know, we were what people like. You know, I'm always fighting the Princeton offense thing.
Yeah,
when like we averaged, you know, we scored 76 at Kentucky. Not that's an incredible number, but people are still talking about the Princeton offense. And you know, when we were at Princeton, we were that Princeton team that's in your head. You know. Yep. Skill guys, not a ton of speed out there.
All due respect.
Really knew how to play. Whereas this team has a great mix of athletic ability and speed and skill.
All right. Well, that's the right answer. Because if you said that we'd beat them, then the guys would come in and give you a bunch of stink eye, and we can't go messing up this ecosystem that you've got. You've got everybody singing the same, you know, pulling in the same direction, and. Right. I was looking forward to the conversation just because of the win the other day, and I'm psyched for you guys, and I'm bummed for you right now because you're in this kind of no man's land where who the hell knows. So we'll keep an ear out, and we'll hope that the news that comes back to you guys is positive. But even if it's not, you hunker down for a bit, and you like everything else, we get to the other side. Yep. And the good news is that if we can keep moving forward in college basketball, you guys got a chance to be great. So go be great. And thanks for spending some little time with us, Chris. You know that we're up here pulling for you, and you know we'll throw your highlights on and just give us some good stuff to show. All right?
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you. And I wanted to say, the best days of the quarantine from March through was the Jordan story.
How sick was that?
And then your guys' post game, what was incredible. The bad beats from.
From then, we're going back. Imagine your some poor schmuck that got like that lost who knows what in a game in like 80 whatever, right. And you got to see it again in 2020. Like you want to throw a brick through the yeah, no doubt. Of course, there's no forgetting it. Hey man, speaking of Philly, imagine if you had the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. They gave up a Hail Mary and a 2-point conversion, and it's like you know. You'll never forget, but that's the beauty of sports, I suppose. But Chris, again, thanks for the time. Good health, good luck, and we'll circle back and catch up down the road. All right.
Thanks, guys. Great to see you guys.
Our thanks to Chris Moody, head coach of the Richmond Spiders, off that huge win, highest ranking since the 50s, and now here they are dealing with a COVID situation. But as you clearly heard in that interview, a Philly guy, Princeton educated, 1,000-point scorer in college, got a Fire Mooney sign up on the highway. His kids have got to see. But he didn't blink, and I'm glad he didn't. I've known him for years, and I was just immediately drawn to him. I think he's a charismatic guy, doesn't take himself too seriously, but he's got a team that's got a chance. Like he said, a chance to be great, and he's right. They're a really good team. Last year, the best team in the A-10 was Dayton. I think Richmond's going to be the best team in the A-10 this year. Enjoyed that conversation. Appreciate you being with us on SB Pod. We will see y'all next week. Stay well, stay safe.